So, on this Father's Day, I want to speak to the men of this house. Here's what I know about men. Men appreciate straight talk. They appreciate honest conversation and sometimes raw conversation. Find a man near you. If you're a man in the room, even if you have to lean up in front of you or turn behind you, just tell them we were born to be brothers. Born to be brothers. All right, men, let's go to work. Proverbs 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. And let me just say from the jump today, I know the family dynamic in this room is wide and varying. Some dynamics are celebrated, other family dynamics are tolerated. And in this room today, we have everything from only child to multiple siblings. You may not have a born brother in your life, or you may have a born brother that you never speak to. I understand the dynamics are wide and varying. And it would be impossible for me to speak to every nuance in the time we have today. But I want to speak to you today about your brothers, whether they are your born brothers or your born again brothers. Whether it's the men that have been in your life for years and years, going all the way back to childhood, or if it's men you've met just since you've been coming to this church, your born again brothers. One of the funny things about brothers is that they usually start out fighting each other. Brothers wrestle one another. They argue with one another. They certainly compete with one another. They challenge one another. And anyone who grew up with brothers knows this to be true. Sometimes they are teaching each other without even realizing it. Oftentimes they are sharpening each other, making one another better. And almost always they are irritating each other. There's something about childhood brotherhood. There's something about young brotherhood. There's something about growing up as brothers, brotherhood matures. Because the goal isn't to spend your lives fighting each other. The goal is to become men who fight for each other. The goal is not to be at odds with one another. The goal is to be standing side by side and dealing with whatever it is that you face together. That's exactly why and what the proverb means when it says a brother is born for adversity. A brother isn't proven on easy days. A brother is revealed on hard days. How many have ever dealt with some hard days, some challenging days, some difficult days in your life? And so we know the world is full of acquaintances. The world is full of followers, and we all have many contacts. But when adversity comes, God gives us brothers. Some brothers are born by blood, and of course that is a unique bond. And then others are born by covenant, and that creates a faith bond that is unique and special. There are born brothers, and then there are born again brothers, and I contend that every man needs both. One of those is out of your control. If all you have is sisters, then you do not have a born brother, but you have the opportunity to have born again brothers and to be in a brotherhood and to be in covenant relationship with other men who will build and bless your life. So here's one point I want to leave with our men today. Brotherhood is forged through friction. Brotherhood is forged through friction. You know why? Because God never intended for men to grow in isolation. We speak about this a lot. We say this and weave this into many of our messages because God has not intended for you and I to do life alone. I get it. You like isolation because you feel safer. You feel safer in isolation. Involving other people, inviting other people into the process, it requires vulnerability. And we don't like the feeling of vulnerability because that kind of openness scares us. Yet the Bible tells us, another Proverbs, just a few chapters from our text this morning, Proverbs 27 and 17 says that iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. So when you have real brothers in your life, real brothers will challenge you. Real brothers will push you. Real brothers will instigate you. They will tell you the truth. They will confront your weakness. They will call out compromise in your life. And real brothers refuse to let the other drift. Refuse to let one another go. It's beautiful when you look at 1 Samuel 18 and 20, and I'm not going to read those chapters. It's a number of chapters that details the entire story. 1 Samuel 18, 19, 20, add chapter 23 in there as well. But it is the relationship of Jonathan and David. Of course, you know who David is. He's the psalmist. He's the king of Israel, but you need to know Jonathan as well. These men are not born brothers. Eventually, years later, they will become brothers-in-law, but they are closer than true brothers. There is a friendship. There is a bond between these two men, and their friendship was not built on convenience. It was built on tension. How is that possible? What was the source of the tension? Well, Jonathan is the son of King Saul. King Saul was the people's choice. He was never God's choice. He is who the people wanted. And so God said, all right, I'm going to let you have Saul. And of course, while Saul was king, there was tragedy and calamity and issue and all of that happened to the nation. And David was waiting in the wings. So if Jonathan is the son of King Saul, that makes him the crown prince. That makes him the next in line for the throne. Saul was the people's choice. David is the called king. He is God's choice. And so you can quickly see the source of this tension because Jonathan and David should be enemies. On paper, they should be rivals. Every political advisor would have told Jonathan to see David as competition. In fact, Jonathan, you probably ought to join in your father's hatred for David. Since your father is trying to kill David, maybe you ought to help him out and just get rid of him. But you see, Jonathan saw something greater than personal ambition. Jonathan saw something in David that was greater than any personal goal that he had or any personal ambition that he had. He saw God's hand on David's life. This is why you need to know Jonathan. Because a weak man competes But a godly man can celebrate God's purpose in another man. Because one of the greatest threats to brotherhood among men is often comparison. Comparison destroys what covenant builds. I want you to hear me today. Some men spend their lives competing against men they should be standing beside. Some men spend their lives at odds with men they should have long ago joined forces with. Let me challenge you today. Who is sharpening you? Who has permission to sharpen you? Because a man without accountability eventually becomes dangerous. Brotherhood is forged through friction. Let me give you another point, men. Brotherhood survives misunderstanding. Brotherhood survives misunderstanding. 1 Samuel 20, David and Jonathan's relationship was tested repeatedly. Again, Saul hated David. He was so jealous of God's anointing on David's life. But Jonathan loved David. David is standing here not sure whom he can trust. He knows he cannot trust Saul. In fact, he spends a number of years ducking and dodging, running from Saul because his time was not yet. And David refused to be dishonoring. David refused to take Saul out himself. David refused to cut the line or to do this outside of God's timing. And so he spent years trying to get away from Saul and really just trying to keep himself alive. But he wasn't always sure whom he could trust. There were many moments of uncertainty in David's life. There were many moments of fear in his life. There were many moments when circumstances could have divided he and Jonathan. And what we learn is that every meaningful brotherhood, and that word meaningful, underline that in your notes, every meaningful brotherhood eventually faces misunderstanding. It may be a missed phone call. It may be a hurt feeling. It may be a disagreement. It may be a season of distance. So go ahead and hear me some more, men. The enemy knows that divided men become vulnerable men. The enemy knows that divided men become isolated men. That's why Satan works hard to isolate men and to get you over in a corner all by yourself, because he knows that isolated men struggle in silence. Hear me, guys. The strongest men are not men who need no one. The strongest men are men who have brothers that stand beside them. Are there any men in this room that are thankful for brothers in your life? Jonathan continually reassures David by saying, I am with you. I am for you. When you read through these chapters this week, you'll see him repeatedly reminding David, I can see it in your eyes. You're not sure if you can trust me. I can hear it in the shake of your voice, David. You're not sure who is on your side, but David, I am for you. I wonder how many men in this room just need to hear someone say, I am for you. You may feel incredibly alone today. You may feel like no one understands today. You may feel like you cannot get out from under the pressure of family and earning and building and college funds and car. All of the things, you may feel like you can't get out from under any of that pressure. Well, let me just stand flat-footed to look every one of you in the eye today and say, I am for you, and I believe in you, and I know that God's call and his blessing and his anointing is on your life. Men, I thank God for you, and you are not alone. And Don't fear that emotion. Because when I say that and you feel that lump come up in your throat like, oh, man, don't fight that. Don't fear that. Embrace that. You know why? Because every man needs someone who can remind him you're not alone. Every man needs someone who can remind him you're not crazy. You're not finished. God is still with you. And I'm speaking to men in this room today. You have friends for recreation, but few of you have brothers for adversity. Brothers who are with you in the fight. Not fighting you, but fighting with you. Not fighting against you, but standing side by side, fighting your common enemy. Let me tell you this next point, men. Brotherhood stands in the battle. The wise men said in our text today that a brother is born for adversity. The Hebrew understanding, the Hebrew idea behind this is that adversity is where brotherhood proves itself. Because again, we don't discover our brothers in celebration. Celebration is wonderful. We find our brothers, we discover our brothers in the struggle. That's why a disagreement with your brother affects you more than just some silly interaction down at the corner store with somebody you don't even know. That just push that off. That's just water off a duck's back. That's just a word. That's just, man, go on, get out of here. But when it's your brother and there is a disagreement, when it's your brother and there is hurt, when it's your brother and something is said, it's because you have an investment with that man. You have an investment with that brother. That is brotherhood. It is not a casual relationship. You'll get up in the middle of the night to go bail your brother out. You'll get up in the middle of the night to go get your brother off the side of the road. You'll get up in the middle of the night to go help your brother. So if there is contention or if there is strife or if there is something that needs to be healed between you and your brother, I challenge you today to fix that. Don't let this Father's Day sun go down until you've sent a text or you've made a phone call or you've stopped by your brother's house to say, man, look, we've been at this too long. We've got too much invested. We got to squash that disagreement. You see it your way, I see it my way, but what do we see the same way? There's too much. We have too much invested in one another. And you literally see David and Jonathan standing together while Saul's kingdom was unraveling. Saul is spinning out of control. There's political calamity and crisis everywhere. The people are no longer with Saul. And David and Jonathan are standing together watching this happen. And some may say, well, I got a problem with that. You know, if I'm Jonathan, I got a real problem with that because that's his dad. Well, his dad was wrong. And jealousy had so enraged Saul. Jealousy is what fueled his motives. And so Jonathan risked his own future because he believed in David's calling. That's brotherhood. Brotherhood says if you're under attack, you're not going to fight alone. If you're in the thick of it, you will not fight alone. I had this friend. My mother remarried, was single for many, many years, remarried my stepfather, Elmo. They've been married for 38 years and wonderful, beautiful people, but We moved from Houston to Odessa. I was going into my junior year of high school and moved out to West Texas, and it was a major transition at a very pivotal time in my life. I was 16, about to turn 17. We moved in August. My biological father whom I had had a relationship with, but it was very strained. He passed away literally right after we moved. We moved in, they married August the 28th, 1989. My biological father passed away September the 17th, 1989. So just a few weeks later, and we're back in Houston for a funeral and all of those things happening. It was this crazy time in my life, and I'm making new friends and I'm meeting new people. And there was a guy in the church there. His name was Mark, and Mark had a brand new 1989 IROC Z. Any men remember the IROC Z? Yeah, he was a rich punk. Had a brand new car. He was a couple of years older than I was, 18 or 19 years old. And Odessa had a drag, Grand Avenue. And every Friday and Saturday, there was nothing else to do in this town but to go ride that drag. But when you're in a brand new IROC Z, you're kind of the, you know, you're kind of the man. And I wasn't the man because I wasn't driving it. I was just in the passenger seat. But I don't remember what happened. I don't remember how it came about. I don't remember what was said. But you're riding with the windows down, and, you know, some of those guys are jawing with one another, or they're talking about the car. You know, they're just guy stuff, you know. And I don't know, something was said between Mark and one of these other guys. And when we got down to the turnaround and pulled into a parking lot, they come screeching into that parking lot and blocked us in. All of a sudden, these guys started pouring out of this car, and we were gonna fight. It all happened so fast. I didn't know what we were fighting about. I didn't know what was happening. I just know I was balling up my fist, because, you know, when you're brothers, you don't even need the reason. We'll find out the reason later. We got to handle business, and then we'll figure out whether or not the business was right or wrong, because this is my brother. And I never will forget, there was one too many of them. And Mark started backing away. And I heard the little beep on that car. He locked the doors with the remote. And he was retreating. And right there in front of all of them, I said, "Hey, when they get finished kicking my butt, I'm gonna kick yours for leaving me in the fight." Because that's not what brothers do. Brothers stand with one another in the battle. Jonathan and Saul. Jonathan and Saul are father and son, but Jonathan has made his choice, and he and David are standing. Because brotherhood says if you're under attack, you're not fighting alone. Can I just tell you that in 2026, the church desperately needs men who will fight beside one another? Not fighting each other. No. We fixing that. We squashing that. We resolving that. We are fighting with and for. We are focused on the same enemy. We're going to fight for our marriages. We're going to fight for our children. We're going to fight for purity. We're going to fight for truth. We're going to fight for the church. We're going to fight for the next generation. If you have a son or a daughter up here on this stage helping lead today, we're fighting for that. We're fighting so that they have a place to grow in their faith and become who God has called them to become. The enemy loves isolated men, because isolated men are easier targets. And I have it happen often. "Pastor, I need to talk to you. Pastor, I got to get with you, man. Hey, you got any time? I got to get with you." It's not just casual with men. Sure, there's those friendships, and I love those as well, but there's several of you men in this room. You're not really about getting coffee. You're not really about grabbing lunch. You're not even about some of the casual conversation. There's something deep that goes on. "Hey, I need to get with you. I need to connect with you. I need to talk with you." And a week will go by, or 2 weeks will go by, or a month. Hey, weren't you supposed to reach out? Hey, you're supposed to be calling. We're supposed to be getting together. We need to be. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. I'm thinking about it. What's going on? The enemy wants to isolate you and push you over into a corner, because men are easier targets, but hear me, real brothers will lock shields together. When one grows weak, another is standing strong. When one falls, another is there to help him up. When one loses heart, another is speaking courage, because brotherhood turns adversity into victory. I don't know what you may be facing today, man. I don't know what you may be dealing with in your life, but I promise you there is a brother in this room that wants to lock arms with you so that you are not in the fight alone, that you are not in the battle alone, but that we are standing together. We may need to work some stuff out. We may need to get some stuff straight, but man, I am not going to leave you in the middle of the fight. I am going to fight with you. Because brotherhood turns adversity into victory. I'm going to close with this last point today, that brotherhood leaves a legacy. Brotherhood leaves a legacy. And I get it, men. It's hard to think about what you're leaving while you are living. It's hard to think about what's coming after you when you feel like you're barely holding on in the moment. But hear me today, you are living for legacy. Legacy is what lives beyond you. Legacy is what remains after you are gone. And each of us are going to leave something, good or bad. We're going to leave something. Oh, he got his temper from his daddy. Oh, he got that smart mouth from his daddy. We're going to leave something, good or bad. And this matters to men, because men need to know that their work is not in vain. That's why I told you at the beginning, men perform better when they feel good. Men do better when they're built up, because brotherhood leaves a legacy. One of the best moments in Scripture happens after Jonathan dies. David is still alive, but David never forgot his brother. In fact, 2 Samuel 9:1, many years later, David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul?" Saying is, is there anybody left? I know Jonathan. My brother, is anyone left that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? That's how deep brotherhood runs. Jonathan's influence outlived Jonathan's life. And David extended grace to Mephibosheth because of a covenant between brothers. I want you to hear me, fellas. Real brotherhood blesses generations. Your sons are watching. Young men in this church are watching. We got young men that come with single parent moms. They need men. They need big brothers. They need unks. They need grandfather figures. I got my hands full with my own. I get it. But what if we had time to train and to leave something to the next generation, because our sons and these young men, they are learning what manhood looks like by watching you and I. They are learning whether Men compete or encourage, isolate or connect, criticize or carry one another. Some say, and I can't disagree with it, the next generation needs fathers. It's true, but if you'd allow me to add something to that, the next generation needs fathers who know how to be brothers, who know how to stand with one another. Born brothers, born again brothers. Every believer has access to spiritual brothers because the cross created a family. Jesus' blood creates a brotherhood. We may not share the last name. We may not share a same background. We may not even have the same story, but we share the same Savior. We are born again brothers. Solomon said, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. Because when life gets hard, when the battle gets fierce, when the burden gets heavy, God's answer has always been the same. He gives you a brother for the fight. Thank God for the men in this house. Thank God for the men. Would you stand with me, men in this room? Father or not, if you're a man, if you're a young man, if you're 12 years old, 13 years old, man, that's some good looking men. I want you to see what I'm saying. Half of this congregation today is men, maybe more than half. Men, I bless you today. I thank God for you today. I applaud you today. You're doing a good job.